Friends, this is going to be good. Welcome to our church.
Well, before we really get started, most of you know you've been here for the last couple of weeks. We've been on our series called Talk to Me, and we're just really diving into prayer. And there's one thing that's been happening consistently, and it's been problems. It seems like since we committed as a church to pray, the devil's been working overtime to stop you from praying. I've seen our intercessors get attacked. I've seen our youth leaders get attacked. I've seen my own life and my wife, our lives, be attacked. I've seen this church get attacked, and it's because you've committed to pray. You've committed to say, I'm in a battle. You've committed to say, I'm going to wake up early to fight for today. And the enemy is working overtime. And what I've also noticed is that God is allowing this to happen. So you can get bitter that God is allowing it to happen, or you can get better about allowing God to let it happen. I have chosen every morning to wake up early. My wife actually has been my alarm clock. She has found a secret place called a walk every morning now. She goes out and she walks and she prays. That allows me to get up and find my quiet moment, my closet, to pray. Come on, somebody preach with me today. We're talking about prayer. There has been problem after problem arise. There's been persecution that has come against people in the church. Praise God, because we're supposed to count it a blessing. The persecution comes, we're supposed to count it a blessing. We're supposed to rejoice in our persecution. Amen. And so when people come to me and they say, you know, Pastor, this is going on and this is going on, my response has always been, amen. Because you must be doing something right for the enemy to be fighting you so much. The enemy knows you by name. We sing that song, he calls me by name. I'm a friend of God. If you're a friend of God, you're an enemy to his enemy, and he knows your name. There's a moment where the disciples get really upset because they went to a man and they tried to cast out a demon, and the demon responded, we know Paul. We know Jesus. Who are you? The demons didn't know their name because they didn't pray. Because when they went back and they said, Jesus, you know, this is what was going on. And Jesus said, these only come out by praying and fasting. So if you're not a person and we're not a church, a people of prayer, then something's wrong. Prayer is not something that we just do. It must be a way of life. It must be a habit. It must be like second nature. When you wake up in the morning, it should be as if getting dressed in the morning. Like, you don't think about that. You don't think about brushing your teeth. You don't think about combing your hair. It's just a part of your life. Prayer should be just like that. See, most of us take our prayer life like we take Saturday mornings. I don't have to get up and really get dressed. I can just walk around in my pajamas. See, that's what we do with our prayer life. I don't really have to pray today. God loves me anyway. We can't take our prayer life like a Saturday morning. We have to be serious about prayer. And if we're going to be serious about prayer, then we need to learn about the pattern of prayer. And one of the best examples of a pattern of prayer is the prayer of Jabez. This little insignificant name in the Bible, in the Old Testament. So grab a Bible. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Now, if you were to read the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles, you would be bored to sleep. It's just a genealogy of Jesus Christ. So-and-so begot so-and-so as the father of so-and-so, begot the so-and-so as the father of so-and-so, and on and on and on before you're asleep. But right there in the middle, you might just overlook this guy named Jabez. As you're flipping there, Jabez's name in Hebrew means pain. His mom named him Pain because in pain she gave birth. Now, how many of you have ever been told you're being a pain? You're annoying me. You're a pain. Well, think about if your mom named you, what upset her? I named you Jabez. I named you Pain because I suffered giving birth to you. Basically, what his mom was saying was, I wish you weren't born. Because if you weren't born, I would have never gone through this pain. Now, there's some of us in this congregation today that understand what Jabez went through. But what I want you to understand is how to overcome a dysfunctional family through a pattern of prayer. I want you to understand how to overcome maybe a dysfunctional persona through the pattern of prayer. What I want you to understand today is how to overcome a dysfunctional self-esteem through the pattern of prayer. Pastor, what do you mean? Because maybe your mom, your dad, friends, family members, people that are close to you, people that are in authority over you, have demoralized you and caused you to have a very low self-esteem. And you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see. You just think that you should have never been born, this, that, or the other. But I want you to understand how to overcome those things through the pattern of prayer. Prayer is the most powerful weapon in the Christian's life. Oh, but Pastor, it says that, you know, the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. We activate the sword of the Spirit through prayer. Oh, come on, church. We activate the power through prayer. You can just read words, but when you pray those words of the Bible, you get God's attention. You don't pray, or you shouldn't pray to manipulate God, but to access His power. Amen. This is what 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says. It says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And this is what we're going to concentrate on today. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Now, before we really get into it, I want to take you to the last portion of verse 10, where it says, so God granted him what he requested. See, we immediately focus on that, because then we say stuff like, well, because I have not because I ask not. So if I ask God exactly what I want, then I'll get what I want. See, what you don't understand is what Jabez truly prayed. He wasn't praying to benefit himself. He was praying so that he would be blessed to benefit other people. He planned for his territory to be expanded so his circle of influence would be greater, so that he could tell more people about the God of Israel. See, what you don't understand is that Jabez wasn't praying for himself, but in fact, he was praying so that he could be a blessing to others. See, here at this church, we're about one soul. So if we're going to be a people of prayer, then we really need to take this pattern to pray. So in your bulletins today, I've given you 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, so that you can recite this in your prayer this week. And I've given you a pattern for prayer that you should use this week. I'm going to challenge us that this week we would use that as the pattern of our prayer. Will you take the challenge with me, so that we could be a people of prayer? Maybe you've never heard of this guy, Jabez. Maybe this is the first time you're really hearing it. And so you're saying, well, what's so interesting about one single verse in the Bible? Well, what's interesting is because in a list of 9 chapters, he's not pointed out because he built a great building or built the temple or won a great battle. He's pointed out because he prayed. Now, church, if you're pointed out because you're prayed, because you pray, that says something about the pattern of prayer that you just prayed. The fact that this man is pulled out of a line of just insignificant people that are never mentioned again in the Bible, but he's prayed about, or he's talked about, simply because he prayed. That was his great act. That was his great thing. He was counted to be put in the Bible forever. That will never be wiped out of the Bible. Do you understand that this man who was born with a dysfunctional name like Pain is now written in the Holy Scriptures that preachers have been talking about for centuries and still talk about today as one of the greatest prayers written in the Holy Word. Simply because a man decided to take a few words and pray. That's the power of prayer. Come on, church. The Bible doesn't just say that he prayed a good prayer. It literally quotes him word for word. Now, when I read the Bible, I want God to inspire me. I'm reading the Word of God, but now I'm forced to read somebody else's words, word for word, because God was caught. What I mean by that is that Jabez knelt down and got the attention of God. When's the last time your prayer got his attention? Last week I told you we can't just come to God as a gimme, gimme, gimme. I want, I want, I want. We have to give, give, give. See, today we're going to jump into the third part of this series, Talk to Me, the Pattern of Prayer. We find Jabez just kind of buried in just this long list of nobodies. He's pointed out because his greatest achievement is to pray. His greatest achievement is to pray. That's it. To pray. Are you somebody that gets up early in the morning to pray, to set your day upright? Now, during this series, I've challenged you to do that. But before I challenged you, were you a person of prayer? I was, or I'd like to think I was. But until this series started, I don't think I was very serious about my prayer life. I felt like I could do it in my own strength a lot of times. I don't have to wake up early and pray. I can pray on my way to work, or I can pray when I get to work. But by the time I get in my car, by the time I get to work, there's been so many things that have happened, so many things that have gone on, that I can't even concentrate. The first thing you got to do is pray. Amen? And so we're going to look at his prayer, and it's broken down into four separate parts. He prayed that God would bless him. That's the first thing we see. The second thing is he prayed that God would enlarge his territory. The third thing, he prayed that God's hand would be upon him. And then the fourth thing, he prayed that God would keep him from evil. And we're going to break down each section carefully so that we see exactly what Jabez was praying. Because I think it's important to consider that Jabez wasn't praying for himself, but in fact he was praying so that others would be blessed. And so the first point we need to consider today is Jabez prayed for God to bless him. Now we can take that and say, see, you just told me that he was praying, you know, not to be blessed or just for himself, but now you're telling me he just prayed for God to bless him. Now listen, he sought God's blessing on his life. He was not worried about being selfish with the blessing. He wanted God's best and believed that God wanted to give it to him. He remembered his ancestor Abraham. If you looked at Genesis 12:2, it says this, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. That's the key. You will be a blessing. Too many times we want to hoard the blessing. God, enlarge my territory. I'm fine with that. As long as it's my territory. Lord, enlarge the congregation as long as it's my congregation. Lord, enlarge my ministry as long as it's my ministry. See, God will not enlarge this church until we realize it's not our church. God will not enlarge this ministry until we realize it's not our ministry. God will not enrich your life until you realize it's not your life. Somebody preach with me today. You are not here for you. You're not here for yourself. God didn't give you that job for yourself. God didn't give you that for you to hoard. Oh, but I just want to be blessed. See, the problem is when you get blessed, there's a responsibility to bless others with what you've been blessed with. A couple of years ago, I don't remember how long ago it was, we were blessed as a church with a church van. Now, if we just took that and hoarded that for ourselves and never got anybody around, not taking anybody to youth convention, I wouldn't have half the members here at this church. Well, that van kind of had its time, and we needed another van. Well, God blessed us again. Why? Because we used the first blessing to bless those around us. And not only were we just looking for a van, but God blessed us with a brand new van at a price that the church could afford. Why? Because he understood that this church would take that blessing to bless other people. Why in the world would God give you something if he didn't want you to give it out? So when Jabez asks God to bless him, bless me indeed, it's in order to bless those around him, not for himself. There's a responsibility that comes with a blessing. Now, some of you are now going to say, well, then don't bless me, God, because I don't want to do anything. But then we read in Genesis 32:26 about Jabez's ancestor named Jacob, and he wrestled with an angel all night long. And this is what Jacob said to the angel: I will not let you go until you bless me. And from that point on, Jacob entered the promised land and prospered so that his descendants blessed the whole world with spiritual blessings. Through Jacob and his offering, God's Messiah came into the world. Come on, church. Because of what Jacob did that night, the Messiah comes through his land, or through his line, and every one of you have been adopted into the family of God because somebody wrestled with an angel all night. See, when you want a blessing and you're not willing to get out of the altar until that blessing comes, be prepared for the responsibility that comes with it, because to whom much is given, much is required. So you think it's easy being a pastor. You think it's easy being a leader. You think it's easy being a part of a ministry. Let me tell you something about being a part of a ministry. You take the problems of the people you minister with and to. When they're looking for guidance, they call you. When they're struggling with a situation, they call you. And anybody going through a situation only thinks about their situation. They don't think about the other person's situation and what they're going through. They're just expecting prayer. They're expecting help. So if you want to be a blessing, be prepared. Be responsible. Lord, bless me. Bless me. That's what Jabez said. Bless me so that I can bless other people. Amen? Amen. Serving God by serving people takes time. If God gives me more, it means I have to do more. But I just want to relax, God. Then you'll never get past where you are. We all want to be promoted at work. But if you get promoted at work, there's a lot that comes with it. So don't ask for something you're not prepared for. Because when you get it, you will have to do more. Especially here in the church. See, if we're not closer to God this year than we were at the beginning of last year, then we've missed the point. We've missed the blessing. You need to pray that God would bless you and bring a new fire into your soul, a new passion for God, a new zeal for serving him, a new desire to have your life be a blessing to those around you. If we expect our church to grow spiritually, then we need to bless people around us with what we've been given. Give out so that God can give back to you. See, the problem when you hoard, there's no more room for anything else. God's saying, give out so that I can give you more. Bless those around you so that I can bless you some more. But the problem is we just keep, and then we hoard everything up. There's no room for anything else. See, that's the problem with the apathy in American church. We have a hard time blessing other people because our stomachs are full every day. We have clothes on our back. We have a church on almost every corner. We have outreaches after outreaches. We have people from outside our state coming to this city to be a blessing to other people. So we sit back and we become complacent in our walk with God. And when God asks us to give out, we're like, I don't need to, I don't have to, and I don't want to. That's the problem. That's the problem with this church. It's all about, well, not this church, but I'm meaning the church in America. It's all about us. It's become self-centered. We've become a center about us instead of a center about Christ. We're preoccupied with our own self and our own nature and our own desires and our own blessings. And God has never been about you being about you. God has always been about you being about others around you. Our lives have become shallow in this country. And somehow we've become worried about how we look, what we have, and who might have more. So many people have never realized they have a greater purpose larger than themselves. This is why Jabez prayed the second part of his prayer. Jabez prayed that God would enlarge his borders, expand his territory. Jabez was from the tribe of Judah, which was the ruling class among the Hebrews. To increase his territory meant that his people would have more area to live in and that he would have more people to serve as a leader. If we want this church to grow and we want more people to come, we have to be prepared to serve more people, to do more for people. We cannot expect them to come into the walls of this church and expect them to just be fed and go about and never be attended to. We as a church need to tend to the new people that come to our church throughout the week, not just on Sunday. Not put a smile on your face and forget them on Tuesday. If we want our territory to be expanded, we want God to bless us financially, then we must be prepared to be broke and broken for Him. We must not be afraid to go around the corner and buy a meal for somebody that needs it or doesn't need it. We must not judge the person on the street because they look like they have something. If God convicts you to do it because He's blessed you. You want your territory to be expanded? Bless those around you and God will draw people to you and your territory will be expanded because your name will be raised for what you do and not who you are. And that's what it's about. It should be about what we're doing. Amen? A leader is a servant of other people. God or Jesus came to be a servant, not to be served. And as leaders in this church, and every one of you are leaders in this church, you must be prepared to serve in whatever capacity God asks you to serve. Don't get upset if you don't get your way, because it's not your way. The sooner you realize that you are not yourself and that your will is not your will and that you've already committed to God, the better you'll be in ministry. The better prepared you'll be to serve, because you've realized it's not your will anyway. It's not your way anyway. Come on, church. One of the things I'm praying about for this church every morning is that I don't want this church to become a country club where we just sit about. We just sit around and talk about what we've done. See, I love golf. I like going to the golf course and sitting around. And all these old golfers will tell, they'll tell you stories about this hole and how far their drive was on this hole and how great the putt was on this or how they missed this one. See, they just talk about the past because they have no clue about the future. See, as Christians, we can't worry about the past and what we did. We can't just sit around and say, well, last year we did this and last year we did this, because God's calling us to a purpose now and in the future. And if we want God to expand our territory, then let's talk about the future. Let's talk about what God wants us to do, not what we have already done. Because what we've already done is already done. What God wants us to do is yet to be done. Did you get that? Then we need to be a people about people. Because those people need Jesus. And if our territory, if our borders are going to be expanded, then we need to be prepared to be a blessing. So when you pray, do not give God a gimme list, but give God your list of things you want Him to do through you. So I want us to live for more than ourselves, more than our own interests. I pray that our lives would be used up in serving God by serving the needs of others. I want to be a part of what God is doing in this world. I want to be a part of it. I don't want to be the whole plan. I just want to be a part. In a time of great discouragement, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 54 and 2. It says this, "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes." God wants you to see beyond the circumstances. He wants to enlarge your life if you will join him by praying and believing for the blessing. I don't think you're understanding where I'm going here. He wants us to expand ourselves in order to expand our territory. Because in order for him to expand our territory, you have to be willing to do more than you're doing now. Are you willing to do more than you're doing now? But I pray every morning. Are you willing to do more than you're doing now? If you're not willing to do more than you're doing now, then God will continue to give you exactly what you have now. But see, most of you complain for what you have now. If you want more, do more. Be good stewards of what God blesses you with now, and he will give you, just like it says in Micah chapter 3, it will give you more than the storehouses itself can hold. But those storehouses aren't there for you just to simply store up your own grain, but to give out to those who need and those who don't need. It's not yours to judge who needs and who doesn't need it. It's yours to give when God asks you to. The third thing to consider, and I won't spend an incredible amount of time on this one, is Jabez prayed for God's hand to be upon him. Jabez knew that what he was praying for was bigger than what he could accomplish himself. He was praying for something so big that only the hand of God on his life could accomplish it. What would you pray for if you knew that you could not fail? Think about that for a moment, church. What would you pray for if you knew that it wouldn't fail? What is God speaking to you about, which you have been ignoring? What have you dreamed about? What have you envisioned God doing with your life, but you've dismissed it because you thought it was an impossible dream? Begin to pray for the hand of God to be upon your life so that you can accomplish something great for him. Hopefully it will be something so great that when it comes to pass, you and everybody around you will say, "This had to be the hand of God, because there is no way I could have done it by myself." The third point is in his prayer, meaning Jabez's prayers, is the one most of us consider. We want God to take care of us, right? God, let your hand be upon me. We'll assume that means that God, take care of my every need and make sure that I'm okay and make sure that everything's safe and sound and I have money and my kids are fed and I have clothes on my back. But you see, that's not what he means by let your hand be upon me. What he really means, what Jabez is really talking about, is he's asking God's hand to take care of the details of God's will. Do you understand that? He's not asking for God's hand on his life to keep him safe. He's asking for God's hand to move so that the will of God will be accomplished. See, I don't think you guys are getting that, because it's not easy to hear. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to pray so that God's hand will not keep me safe? No, what I'm saying is that God's will in your life is more important than the safety of your life. God's will in your life is more important than the safety of your life. If God is going to accomplish his will and you're going to be a part of it, he will keep you until his will in your life is accomplished. And until that is done, you're still here. So for God's will in your life to be accomplished, he will keep you. That you don't have to pray about. That you don't have to worry about. He will keep you until his will is accomplished in your life. As a believer, he will keep you until his will in your life is accomplished. I have a friend, or had a friend, that God's will in his life was never accomplished because he chose to take his own life. See, you can take yourself out of God's will. You can. That's your own choosing. But if you choose to be in the will of God, He will not remove His protection on your life until His will is accomplished. And when He takes you home, you're home and safe forever. So God's protection is forever with us. Amen? Jabez wanted God's hand to take care of the details, not his personal life to be okay. This is the pattern of prayer. Listen carefully. Pray to be a blessing. Pray to be a blessing. Pray to bless more people, enhance your territory. Pray to accomplish God's will, even if it looks impossible. But the final part of Jabez's prayer is the most important. We need to consider that Jabez prayed that God would keep him from evil. And that does not mean keep him from harm. One translation says it like this: keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. But I don't think that's properly interpreted. The New King James puts it like this: keep me from evil that I might not cause pain. That's the more accurate interpretation. Keep me from sinning because sin equals pain for God. God, keep me from evil. Lord, what Jabez is really asking for is something that every believer needs to have in their life, and that's called conviction. Lord, before I go there, convict my heart. Lord, before I say this, convict my heart so that I will not sin and cause you pain. That's what Jabez is really praying about. Again, not for himself, but so that he would not cause God pain. As a Christian, as a believer, this is probably one of the most solid patterns of prayer I've come across. Besides the Lord's model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, this has got to be one of the greatest patterns of prayer I see in Scripture. Sin brings pain. No matter what happens, when we sin, we bring pain to those around us and to God Himself. But if we're truly praying this prayer, then we must be a blessing and not a pain. Amen? In order to expand our territory, we've got to be a blessing and not a pain. Because nobody wants to be around pain. And if you're being a pain, nobody wants to be around you, and your territory will shrink, not expand. And that's not what God wants, and that's not the pattern of prayer that we see and that we're studying today. Jabez wanted his life to be a blessing. He wanted to be protected from the harm of evil, but he also wanted to be kept from sinning. And if we keep from sinning, then we'll be kept from the harms of evil. Amen? Sin brings pain into the lives of those around us. That's what you have to see. You think, oh, but my sin is secret. It's not secret. It causes you to act a different way around people. It causes you to treat people a different way, see people a different way, judge people a different way. And so sin really commits, committing sin really causes pain around us. And if we're looking at the pattern of Jabez's prayer, we're supposed to be a blessing to those around us, not a pain. Genesis 6, 5, and 6 says this: the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Have you filled God's heart with pain today? Or have you filled God's heart with joy today? Every time we sin, we fill God's heart with pain. And so we must say that last part of Jabez's prayer with good intention, meaning that no matter what comes our way today, I will do my best not to sin. And I'm not saying that coming from the perspective of a sinless man. I'm not a sinless man. I'm just a man who wants to sin less. And I'm working hard every day not to. But as my wife can attest, I'm not perfect. Close to it, but not perfect. And neither are you. One day, hopefully, if I make it to heaven, I'll be perfect. But not today is not this day. I will make my mistakes, but I pray that God would convict me and keep me from evil. Sin brings pain to the heart of God. If you don't believe that, look at the cross. Because of sin, he had to die. And in our churches in America today, Christian churches, we have a cross back there. We miss the pain of the cross because the cross is empty, so we focus on an empty cross. But the cross, before it was empty, had a Savior pinned to it, his flesh torn from his bones, his head crushed from the thorns there because of sin. Sin brings pain. And he had to pay the ultimate price because of that sin. His body was filthy from the cell that he was kept in. There were deep bruises from the beatings. The crown of thorns caused rivers of blood from his head to stream down his body. But all of that was nothing compared to the moment God poured out upon him the sin of the world. And then he turns his back on the Son. There's nothing compared to the pain that sin causes God. So if you want to be a person of prayer, make sure you pray for conviction in your life. David writes in Psalms 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, meaning God. Matthew 6:13, same thing that Jabez prays, we see Jesus praying. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Again, praying for conviction. Don't lead us into temptation. Convict us. Keep us from the evil one. If you think you can get by with sin and not having pain in your own personal life, trust me, you're mistaken. It will be like a cancer eating its way through your life. It will strip you of God's blessing and destroy your effectiveness as a believer. It will tear apart your relationships and leave you alone, very alone. Sin will leave you beaten. It will alienate you from God. So pray that you will be kept from evil and from the pain that it inflicts on you and those around you. Because if you do, if you keep yourself from evil, you will experience the blessings of God and feel his hand upon your life. God is in the blessing business. And prayer should be the business of the believer. So let me ask you, how's business? If you were a shopkeeper and prayer was your business, would you have to close shop today? I tell you what, how's business? Tell you what, business is good. Business is real good. And I thank God for a church that prays. I thank God for people that are committed to prayer, to pray for me and for my family, to pray for this church and to pray for the ministries of this church and pray for all the pastors in the church. I appreciate that. We need it. So God, amen for that one. Amen. We need it. And so do you. So as Pastor Dave, myself, and Pastor Dustin, we are on our knees praying for you as well. We are thankful that you are on your knees praying for us as well. And I know that you're praying because I'm being attacked, and so are you. So business is good. Business is real good. And so to the pain that we're going through, I say, amen. Through the struggles that God is allowing in our lives, to that I say, amen. For what God allows in my life, God will also sustain through my life. For whatever storm comes my way, God will guide me through that storm. He will be with me all the way. So at the end of this struggle, at the end of this pain, I can raise my head high and say, it's only because the hand of God upon my life that I'm here today. It's because his will is being accomplished in my life and the territories in my life are being expanded that today I will praise God. And always remember this, if it's God's will, then it's God's bill. And he's already paid the price. God is in the blessing business, for he says to you today, Isaiah 43, 1 through 3, this has been running around my mind all week. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. I'm going to start that again because I should have got an amen on that one. Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. Listen, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. When we pray, we activate the power of God, and his hand sits highly upon your life. You are highly favored and truly blessed. Even when we're going through the storms, even when we're going through the fire, we will not be burned. We will not drown. We will not be overtaken because we serve a God that is alive and well, and his power is activated when you pray. This week, as you wake up early each morning, I'm not asking you. I'm already assuming that you are. So this week, as you wake up early each morning to pray, I hope and I challenge you to use the pattern that we talked about today. You don't have to recite it word for word, but the components, the content is important. What we pray about is more important than simply praying words.
Welcome to our church.